Travis for reading our scripture for us this morning, Romans 12, 1 and 2. In the first section of the book of Romans, Paul deals mostly with doctrine, but from the 12th chapter on, he deals more in practical matters, how to make Christianity a part of your everyday living. In these two verses of chapter 12, Paul gets right to the point. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. When we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior and live for Him, we're promised a home in heaven. But for now, we're on foreign territory. As that little song we learned as a child goes, this world is not, I won't sing it for you, I'll save you the misery of that. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. This isn't our permanent dwelling place, people. God has a home for us in glory. But I need practical help with my day-to-day walk for and with God. And Paul gives me that practical advice in these two verses. Paul tells us that we need to be transformed. We need to be changed. This is a present continuous verb, not a one-time action. We need to continually be transformed. But it's also a passive action in that we need to let ourselves be transformed. Let the Holy Spirit work in our lives. Invite Him in. He is a gift when we are baptized, but continually live through the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, in the 18th verse, again, Paul makes this clear to us. 2 Corinthians, chapter 3 and verse 18, but we all with open faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed, be transformed. We are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. We can't do it alone. We need God to help us. Paul doesn't give us a suggestion as to how to live for Him. This is a command. This is imperative. Be you transformed. How do we do that? One of the suggestions that Paul gives, one of the ideas he gives, is that we need to renew our minds. Okay. How do we renew our minds? I think one of the first things that come to our attention to renew our minds is the Word of God, the Holy Scripture. In high school, I was given a plaque with 1 Timothy 2:15 written on it. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or rightly handling the Word of God. Study. It's an effort. Put forth an effort each day in God's Word. Another way to reform our mind, or renew our minds rather, is to focus on good things. What do you think about during the day? What is your mind drawn to? Excuse me. In Philippians 4:8, Paul gives us a list of things that we should be thinking about. He tells us to think whatsoever things are true. He tells us to think on whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, etc. We are to think on these things. We need to live by the Word. The Bible tells us that we need to hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against God. The Bible tells us that we are to allow the Word to become a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that we might walk the straight and narrow way. The Bible tells us that we are to become hearers of, not just hearers of the word, excuse me, but doers of the word. Because if we're only hearers, we're not deceiving God, we're only deceiving ourselves. And we also need to practice God's presence daily. Live as if, and He is, live as if God is right there by your side. This will keep us from avoiding many mistakes. We won't be saying or doing things that we humanly would do if we understood that God is our constant companion. And what is the result of renewing our mind? In the English Standard Version of the Bible, it reads, "By testing, you may discern what is the will of God." Put God to the test, and you will know His will. And as Travis read from Romans 12, 1 and 2, God's will is good. It is precious. God will never ask us to do anything that is not within our own eternal good. God only wants the best for His children. Romans 8:28, a passage that we're all familiar with, says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." 2 Corinthians, again, this time in the 4th chapter and the 17th verse, we read, "For our light affliction, our persecution for the moment, is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." What we have to suffer for a temporary time on earth is simply to prepare us for a wonderful time, for the blessings that God has for us in glory. God's will is good. God's will is acceptable. It is pleasant. God will not lead us to places that we don't want to go. The children of Israel had to learn that hard lesson after they went to the promised land. And 10 of the 12 spies just were afraid. They didn't realize who was really in control. And they all died in the wilderness, because they were not willing to understand that this was God's will and it was best for them. God's will is perfect. You know, there's nothing that we can add to God's plan that will make it any better than it is now. So we need to quit trying, people. I think that's a hard lesson for some of us to learn, that God knows what is best. Many times I want to tell God what's best for me. God, let this happen, or let that happen. When the disciples wanted to know how to pray, Jesus taught them to pray, and He taught them to say, "Thy will be done, as it is in heaven, so on earth." Thy will be done. Jesus faced this, didn't He, in the Garden of Gethsemane? "God, if there's any other way, let it be, but not my will." Not what Ralph Sherman wants, but "God, your will be done on earth." God wants us to know His will much more, most of the time, than we want to know it. He tells us to seek, and we're going to find it. He tells us to seek Him early, and we will find Him. He tells us to draw near to Him, and God will draw near to us. We renew our minds by renewing our bodies and minds to test that God is able and prove that God is good. In 75 years, God has never failed me. Now, I wish I could say that same thing to Him, I wish I could say that I have never failed God, but He is always there to forgive if we repent. God is always the rock. He is always the strong tower. He is always our refuge and our strength. So part of making a difference is allowing God to have control over our minds. Paul tells us another part of having presenting our bodies, because this is our reasonable service. Not only are we to present, renew our minds, we're also to present our bodies. The word reasonable comes from the word that we get our word logic from in English. In other words, Paul says, yielding your body, giving yourself fully to God is nothing but logical. Service means to perform a sacred service, and it had reference to the function of the Levites that they performed both in the tabernacle and in the temple. It's connected with the idea of worship. In other words, when we are totally yielded to Christ, that is the highest form of worship that we can perform. Worship is not something that is performed 1 hour a week on the Lord's Day. Worship is what we do every moment of every day with our bodies and our minds for God and for Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us this. Of course, He tells us a lot of things, doesn't He? Back in John, the 14th chapter and the 15th verse and the 21st verse, Jesus tells us, John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. And in verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Do you love Jesus this morning? What's the test of your love for Jesus this morning? Jesus tells us clearly, keeping God's commandments. The challenge before us is to present our bodies. Again, turning to the scripture in the 1 Corinthians letter, the 6th chapter, verses 19 and 20. Probably many of you are ahead of me on this verse. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. When we become Christian, we have given ourselves up. We no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to God. And therefore, our function is to glorify God. Glorify God in the bodies that He has given to us. Not conformed. That means separated living. We're not to live after the pattern of this present world. And again, this isn't easy. This is very difficult for us to do. The world and Satan wants us to take on the character of the world, not to put it off, as we are told to do in Romans 6, but to just continue to do what you were doing. What we want to do is accept Christ, but kind of blend in with the world. Sometimes it's very difficult for us as Christians to make a stand for Jesus Christ. It's impossible to change the world while we are like the world. And that's much of what is wrong with our Christian stance today. We don't want to be different from the world. In Acts, the 17th chapter and the 6th verse, the last part of it, It says these about the Apostle Paul and other Christians. These who have turned the world upside down are come here also. Did you catch that? What did Paul and Barnabas and the rest of Christians do? Did they live according to the world? No, they turned things upside down according to the people of the world. Man, we can't understand this. What does the world think of us today? People that turn the world upside down or people that live like them? Presenting our bodies and our minds to the Lord results in a change in our lives. The reason that we need to change is to make a difference for Christ and for His work. I read a little article called Keys of Consecration by David DeWell. He says, while assembling supplies for the African nation, an American Red Cross volunteer came across a box with a strange note on it. The note read, "We have recently been converted, and because of our conversion, we want to try to help. We won't need these things again. Can you use them for something?" Inside the box were several Ku Klux Klan sheets that had been used as disguise before. Those sheets were cut into strips for bandages, and these bandages were later used to bind the wounds of African people who desperately needed assistance. The power of Christ moved these men from being focused on hate to being focused on helping. When they accepted Christ, a change took place in their life, and the way they were was no longer the way they began to live for God. A consecrated life is one that seeks to bring honor to the name of Jesus Christ. A concentrated life identifies with Christ. We become like Him. Constantly striving for the completion of Christ's work here on earth. And why do we do this? In view of the mercies of God, because God loves us so much. We should love others because God loved us. We should serve God because Christ, when He came to earth, said, "I came not to be served, but to be a servant of all." We need to forgive others, because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and God forgave us. Ephesians 4:1 says, "I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." Live a life worthy of God's calling of us. 1 Thessalonians 4:1 says how we ought to walk and to please God so that we should abound more and more. Are we walking to please God? Colossians 3:2 says for us to set our affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. This question is for me, and you can listen in and you can answer it if you want to. If you were to evaluate your spirituality and your closeness to God this morning, how would you rate yourself? If you were to evaluate how close we are living for God this morning, how would you rate yourself? And then the next logical question is, if it isn't what it should be, what are we going to do about it? Paul gives us the answer, doesn't he? I urge you, I beseech you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable act of worship. and be not conformed any longer to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you haven't memorized that scripture, do it. Make it a part of your everyday living. Are we living for Christ? If you haven't accepted Him as your personal Lord and Savior, the answer is no. He gave you a gift, but you have to accept it, and you have to live for Him. If you're a Christian, what do we need to do to live closer to God and to Jesus Christ in this world? Our hymn of invitation is number 329 in our songbook, but it will be on the script that Jesus is waiting, isn't He? He's waiting for us to give ourselves fully and completely and wholly to Him. Won't you do that this morning as we stand and as we sing our invitation hymn?